Hello and welcome to Better Construction with Sean McStay, the podcast where we discuss design and construction techniques, products, and details that lead to a better built environment.
All right, and welcome to this week's episode of Better Construction. This week I am very happy to have with me Reza V. Reza is the founder of OVU and a bit of a local marketing guru. You've probably seen him at least one social event you've been to if you live in the Vancouver area. So Reza, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. I was excited to have you on the show because I think that a lot of our guests, you know, they're in the construction industry, but they're also typically, a lot of them are small business owners or maybe thinking about being small business owners one day. So learning about some kind of marketing tips and that type of stuff from you, I think is going to be super valuable. Before we jump into that, though, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit.
So I'm Reza V. I'm the founder of a startup in Vancouver that started in Vancouver called OVU. It's a smart business card. And most people know me as the guy who did attend 100 networking events because that's how I launched my product. I went to 100 networking events in 100 days, one of which was a construction event hosted by you guys. I believe, forgot the famous YouTuber that you guys had at your event.
Matt Rising.
Matt, yeah. So Matt was there and I got to meet, you know, some of your audience. So it definitely put me out of my comfort zone, but I got to meet a lot of people. I got to go make some connections, and that was the foundation of how I launched OVU.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's a great story, and definitely something that is not common. I mean, I do a couple networking events in a week, and I'm a little bit tired. So doing 100 and 100 days, I'd imagine, would be it's a lot of social energy to go to one of those events.
Absolutely.
So maybe tell me a little bit about your background. I know you obviously have a pretty strong marketing background, but you've got an interesting story as well. So maybe share a bit there.
So I'm a third generation entrepreneur, which means my grandfather started from nothing and he built a legacy in the family. And then passed on to my dad and my uncle. So growing up, I saw, you know, dinner tables. The discussion was around business and economic values, all that stuff. Then I came to Canada when I was 14. So I had that background or cultural foundation growing up. But at the same time, I'm new to Vancouver. I'm an immigrant, nevertheless, even though I've been here for 12 years. So I had to kind of start from scratch. And I ended up gravitating towards marketing and creative. Part of me got me into photography, videography, marketing, social media. And then along the way, I always had my eyes on the tech industry because that was my passion. And along the way, I met a gentleman last year who is a technical founder or technical leader. And I felt like there is some synergy between us. And I had this idea. I put it forward and we start working on it. And that's how I got into, you know, doing smart business cards.
Right. And yeah, maybe that's a kind of a natural segue into your company. Maybe share a bit about what it is for people who haven't seen it.
So it's a contactless card, similar to your Visa card or even a hotel card. And they use NFC chips inside to store value or store content. And it is linked to a profile online. And you simply share your business card or your profile by tapping the other person's phone. And that way your profile is shown in their phone and they can directly save you in their contacts. It takes the barrier of, you know, the limitations that the paper business card has. For example, instead of me limiting myself to a phone number and a name, I can now have videos or links or social media or all sorts of content attached to that file. And then they can store it in their contacts. So every time they look you up, they have your full contact information with your image. In addition to that, we can grab the other person's information. So we kindly ask them if they want to share their information with you, and they can autofill the field, and then we'll send you an email that this person just shared their information with you. So that's the beginning for us. Now we are exploring more of the corporate side, for example, businesses with, you know, sales teams or larger organizations, especially the ones that actually go to construction sites a lot. So we have a lot of people that have sales teams that are mobile and going to construction sites. So they get OVU cards for their team, and then they get an admin dashboard where they can control, you know, everybody's cards, make sure everybody are on brand, their logos in there, their social media. So that's where we are at.
Really interesting. Yeah. I mean, when I first heard of the concept, obviously that was before all of this COVID stuff was happening. It was really interesting to me because I've been in sales for like 15 years, and I don't know how many thousands of business cards I've handed out at trade shows and mailed to people and everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're this environmentally sustainable company, and we're throwing little pieces of paper out everywhere. Because who knows, you know, I think maybe one person might keep that on their desk.
Exactly.
So I liked it from an ecological standpoint, but I guess now, you know, the whole contactless thing, that word wasn't known as well as it is now 6 months ago.
Yes.
So has that kind of affected your guys' trajectory at all?
So the pool of customers out there have shrunk quite a bit. So everybody who were at those conferences or events, they're just at home. They're not using their business cards. So the number of potential customers have decreased substantially, but the amount of people that are still meeting people in person, for example, the salespeople who still go drive to construction site to sell cabinetry, to sell whatever the product is, auto dealerships, realtors, mortgage brokers, these people still meet in person. For those, it has become a no-brainer. The contactless format alone is a cultural shift. It's funny, I just did an ad on Facebook and Instagram, kind of mocking the whole awkwardness of shaking hands or not shaking hands, because it used to be rude not shaking somebody's hand professionally. Now it's rude if you do want to shake their hand. If you reach out your hand across, it's rude because we're social distancing. So that alone has been a no-brainer decision for those people to switch. But then the company never really thought about that. We started with the mind of we need to enhance the offline interaction and help people to make that meaningful connection, from allowing them to make a seamless, you know, exchange of contacts all the way to not worry about the contact management. Like, how many people have you met that they put some business cards on their right pocket and some business card on their left pocket, so after the event they know who's who? That's just stupid to me in 2020.
Yeah, where you put the good ones in one pocket and the ones that you took to be nice in the other pocket.
Off you go.
No, I think that's really fantastic. With the idea behind that card being so seamless, that was kind of surprising to me. So the other person doesn't need like an app on their phone, right?
There's no app. Right? There's no app. Yeah. Okay. Neither parties need an app.
Okay, so it's just on the phone and off they go.
Yeah,
that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going in the future? I mean, I know, you know, your point to the handshake thing is an interesting cultural shift. You know, when I was being raised, my dad was a businessman as well, and you know, first thing when I went to get my first job, he like, you know, taught me how to shake someone's hand properly. And now it's, you know, okay, well,
the moment you meet in person, you're like, are we doing elbow or fist bump? Like, you don't know what to do. So in terms of COVID, I really don't know where we are going, but I for sure know we have a new normal that is kind of we are swinging like a pendulum from one extreme to another, but then there's a medium that we're going to reach that is not the same as it used to be. So that's for sure set. Everybody's kind of like agreeing on that. In terms of OVU, I never really focused on COVID. It's helping in some ways and it's not helping in some ways for OVU. But at the same time, with OVU, I always thought about it as, yes, it is a plastic card with an NFC chip that exchanges contact today, but we pride ourselves as a company that focuses on making relationships more meaningful and richer. And tomorrow, if it's glasses and, you know, AR, we'll be there. If it's whatever the technology that supports that. So we are focusing on, you know, taking away all the little things that a business owner or a salesperson or professional is dealing with. I'm Zoom calling with some of our users and they say they're up all night trying to schedule follow-ups for the next day or trying to sort out the business card they got, making sure they didn't, you know, lose somebody's contact, or if they're on Zoom, make sure they get their contacts. That should happen in the back end. You are amazing at talking to people. Do that. Just focus on the conversation. Focus on really getting to know the person. The rest, some technology should handle that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me for sure. So another thing that you're working on, you talked about your 100 social events in 100 days, which was pretty impressive to do. But now I think you've got a podcast goal with 100 as well. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
So it's funny how it all started. I'm going to walk you back. I'm going to take you back to fall of 2019. So I got the incorporation letter for my business. I'm, you know, I have a contract with a person who wants to do the software part of things, and his team is starting to build the software side, and they're coding, the design and the UI is confirmed. So all of a sudden the business is born. It's getting a lot more serious than you might think, from idea to an actual business. And I, having the background of marketing, I was in charge of, you know, what sort of a marketing campaign I should run for the company. And there were so many cookie cutter traditional ways of how you should do. There's no blog out there that tells you go to 100 networking events. All of them will tell you do social media, do this, put hashtags. I had this intuition that in Iran, where I was born, because of my grandfather and my father, I knew so many people. And whenever I ran into a problem or I wanted to make a phone call, somebody would have helped me. Here I am by myself in my room trying to figure out, you know, what to do with this company. And I have no professional or very little professional business connections here. All my connections go back to, you know, school and college and all that stuff. So I had this intuition that I need to make a name for myself. And OVU in my head is not going to be, it may be, I don't know, but I never really set my mind that it's going to be the next Facebook. And I was like, I'm going to leverage this company to build myself instead of leveraging me to build the company. I'm reversing it. So this is a perfect excuse for me to build a reputation out there. And it's a business card. People go out there and you know, network. So it one day I woke up and I had the idea of going to 100 networking events. And I wanted to really learn what it goes on when two strangers meet and talk and exchange contacts. I want to be there. I want to experience it. I want to talk to people. So I set off. I attended a bunch of random events. I tried to prioritize marketing and tech, but as you can imagine, they're not happening 7 days a week. So I had to get creative and go to different events, which was interesting to me. And at the beginning, first 50 events, I had so many people questioning, well, why are you going to all these events? Do you have a deck? Send me your deck. I'll show it to some investors. You don't need to go to all these events. Save yourself some time. I had so many negative messages like that. I even didn't know why I'm doing 100 events. I stood up in a room introducing myself and I said, I'm going to 100 events, and that's it. And people were like puzzled by it. But slowly after 50th event, things slowly showed itself. I went to rooms that people who I've never met started saying, oh, I've heard about you. Somebody told me that you are doing these 100 events. So I slowly saw there is something to it, even though I didn't know what I'm going to end up with. And I commit myself day one that, Reza, don't second guess yourself. Do the whole 100 days and then judge it and then look back. So I'm going to all these events, and I started meeting people. They started recognizing me. I was documenting it on LinkedIn, which I think is a very important aspect of this that people don't see. Had I gone to 100 events without putting anything on social media, people would have forgotten about me. But because I leveraged social media alongside, on parallel with it, people met me at, for example, event number 8. They didn't see me till event number 30th. When they saw me, they felt like they've been seeing me all along because they've been watching the LinkedIn content. So I started seeing people over and over at the same events. And then some people asked me, you know, what's your next event? How do you find these? So I started putting a landing page where I listed all the events I was planning to go with dates, with everything. And I had about 9 people that regularly came to events with me. And they said, we are here because Reza's list said this event is happening. And I had some momentum. Around 60th event, I thought maybe I could launch my product at the end of this. I could host the 100th event. And it was funny how the developer and his team, they got super excited about what I was doing because they saw the momentum on LinkedIn and they got behind me. They were like, whatever we need to do, we'll make sure we have it ready for your launch event. And I hosted an event called 100th event. I had 4 amazing speakers, panel discussion with 4 amazing speakers. From Daily Hive's, one of the partners at Daily Hive, to another startup that's valued over $100 million, and so many amazing people that I just met at these events, and I asked them, I'm doing this, would you want to participate? And then 250 people bought $40 ticket to a launch event. That was unheard of. Like, usually when it's a launch event, you have to pay them to show up. And for 250 people, they came in, they were so attentive. Every single one of them I've met at these events. And prior to that, I didn't know them. And I didn't even mention the product. The theme of the night was the product and connections and relationships. And there was a corner that I had, I set up a booth in that event that they could go check it out. But the speech, the panel discussion, it was all about relationships because I just didn't want to dilute my message, which was, you are way bigger than what you do. People don't even realize they are, most often I observed how they were hiding behind their professions or job titles, and they put that forward as opposed to really embracing who they are, and their work is just a piece of them. And that was the theme of the night. And from there, it was a foundation for Reza V as a person or as a personal brand online. And the podcast goes along that and talks about cultivating relationships and a little bit a bigger message than the product that I'm involved with.
Okay. And so the podcast is 100 podcasts.
It's 100 weeks. It's 100 weeks.
Okay, I was a little worried for you for a second. I do one of these a week, and it's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
It might be tough. One thing that I wanted to ask you about, like I said off the top, a lot of the people who watch this on YouTube, listen to it on the podcast, are small business owners or thinking about being small business owners. With this new normal that we're in now,
yes.
What are some of the non-cookie cutter marketing tips or techniques that you think that they should look at? Like, where would someone start if they have a small business and they're trying to find a few more clients?
So number one thing that I experienced firsthand is the moment you think about selling, you lost the other person. Like, I was just trying to be cool and do 100 events, and people were looking at me like, are you selling me something? Like, it took them a while for them to understand, I'm not at the event to sell you a product. I'm here to just show my passion that I have this product and I want to show you and get some feedback. So people are super sensitive and they can smell the sales coming towards them from miles away, whether it's through Zoom, LinkedIn. The message goes, the moment there is sales behind the intention of that message, people read it from miles away, they don't reply to that. And you can think it's a numbers game and send them, you know, 20,000 emails, but people understand it's sales and they have a feeling for that. So once that's out of the way, getting creative around content. I'm a very bullish person when it comes to content on the internet, and it has to bring value to your audience. And it's surprisingly easy when you break it to pieces on a piece of paper and you have categories of whether you're documenting your journey, like I did. I'm the person who's not a networking expert, who's not a business expert, and I'm out there trying to figure out how to network better, and I'm documenting my journey, and people gravitate towards following another person that resembles themselves in some ways, and the other person is also trying to network and their story is interesting, or you're creating value. If you have something to say, if I'm a 50-year-old who had two successful businesses and I know how to make connections, and I'm known in the community for the guy who has lots of connections and know how to connect people, well, 100 days of networking may not have been the right approach. I could have done a different approach to help people. So I usually categorize it: are you documenting or are you creating content? From there, what would the audience you're doing get? What would you do that they get value from? So and then the value is always: are you teaching them something? Are you sharing some experience or teaching them, or are you entertaining them? Are you entertaining and teaching together, which is a very powerful combo? And then from there, that gets people started.
That's an interesting concept, because I think that trips a lot of people up when it comes to content creation, is the idea of documenting versus they always think they have to create something big and huge. And, you know, they see like the Matt Reisinger in my industry on YouTube, or mm-hmm. they see, you know, Peter McKinnon on YouTube, mm-hmm. Making these amazing things. Like, yeah. I can't do that. So, yeah. I mean, why bother?
I don't have an interesting thing to say. Why bother? I'm not an expert. And you'll be surprised how many experts there are out there that don't know how to do content, and how many popular or famous people are. They're not necessarily the most expert. Peter McKinnon is not the best cinematographer. He's not the most expert or the famous one, but he knows how to tell a story. He knows how to put together good content and be entertaining and informative. So you don't have to be the highest expert. And the other thing with documenting, I feel like coming in eye level and humble is a good punch to the people who are trying to create and they come off as fake.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, people respond well to someone who's just being genuine. You know, they're just being genuine. They're sharing. They're upfront. You know, it's not some hidden sales tactic or message. You know, you read, you get always recommended on Instagram or whatever, this is the newest sales technique, or the newest marketing book, and a lot of the value in those is not something that's actually to be realized by people.
And I have someone in my network who got inspired by what I'm doing, and she wants to do 100 days sales challenge, where she kind of documents her journey of, you know, 100 days straight trying to get more clients and sell. And I told her one tip. I was like, this is amazing that you're doing this and document it, but make sure you're not coming across as someone that, you know, goes there, hey, today I sold this much, or this is how much I made in terms of money or goal or whatever. Go in a different angle and say, today I got the opportunity to help this many clients achieve that. And I want to show you what goes behind the scene of doing that, that you can appreciate, because your customer is watching your videos. And so you've got to keep that in mind. A lot of people come across, so I've seen a lot of people that come across a little too money driven or too salesy, or they're trying to be someone who they're not. Whereas if you come genuine and say, this is me, this is what I know, this is probably a lot of things I don't know, and what I know, I really know, and I know how I can help people, and what I don't know, I'm not ashamed of it, I can learn, and I genuinely want to help people. And there is every entrepreneur is solving a problem. There is a problem out there and you're solving it. So put it in the content. And also the one thing that really helped me was when it comes to content, beside entertaining, which is helpful when it is, but it has to be solving a problem. So think about as your content as a product.
Okay, that makes sense. So when I get towards the end of my podcasts, the listeners know I always have two questions. The first one I'm going to modify just a little bit for you because you're not directly in the construction.
Okay.
But the first one is, which misconception about marketing or that type of that side of the business, if you could just snap your fingers and get rid of it, what one misconception would you want to get rid of?
People think marketing is selling, but marketing is understanding. When you understand the audience, what they are driven by, what they're going through, what's their challenge, you can really you can be an amazing marketer. But marketing is not selling.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good one. Awesome. So then the last question I always ask is a personal interest question for me, because I love books. I collect a lot of books. So what book, personal or professional, would you recommend right now?
So I just recently read a book called Social Capital 2.0. Social capital is in general, a concept I'm fascinated by, because after doing all that events, people pointed out that whatever I'm talking from experience, it relates to social capital directly. So I got interested in the book. It's a bit of a heavy book. I don't know, somewhat heavy, the whole concept. But the idea is about, you know, building not only your financial capital and human capital, which is your skills, but your network, your social capital. There is an economical value that is intangible, but as or more powerful. That's a book I would recommend.
Awesome. I'm going to check that one out for sure. All right. So for everyone listening and watching on YouTube here, I'm going to go ahead and put Reza's social media links to his company, et cetera, down below in the description. And with that, Reza, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. I appreciate it.